Let your word reign. Amen. Let your blood speak. Amen. Let your spirit move. Amen. And let your name alone be glorified. Amen. We worship you. We thank you. We love you. We adore you. We honor you. And we ask for you to come again. Worship you, Jesus. Worship you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen and amen. 7:34. Oh, taste and see. Can we read together? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Can we say it like it's actually true? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Now, 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's read from verse 1 to verse 3. Amen? Amen. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, together please. If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Amen.
Amen.
There are so many qualities about the Lord Jesus that are celebrated. You know, we speak about his holiness. You know, the Lord is blameless, is harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. Those are qualities that describe the Lord Jesus. We can speak about the Lord's attributes of being the way, the truth, and the life. We can speak about him being the Lamb of God, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the living word, you know, the high priest of our profession, the mediator of the new covenant. He's been made unto us wisdom, sanctification, righteousness, everything. By his blood we've received forgiveness of sins, and so on and so forth. But I think one of, if the most, the thing I think that qualifies the Lord, and there's no one word that can qualify the Lord to us, but the thing I feel that everything else hinges on is the Lord's grace. It's the Lord's grace. What is grace? Grace is, simply put, it is power. Simply put, grace is power. It is, you can say it's the love of Jesus that made him come from heaven to earth. It's true, but that love is fueled by grace. It's the grace of Jesus. It's the grace in Jesus. It is the grace inside him that made him come from heaven, strip himself of his deity to take on the form of a servant. It is grace that made Jesus endure contradiction of sinners against himself. The Lord Jesus is gracious through and through. He's gracious from when he was born. The Bible says that, you know, that time when Anna, they dedicated him in the temple, Anna and Simeon, and they said that the child waxed, and that's Luke chapter 2, right? He waxed strong in spirit, and the grace of God was upon him. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Jesus is, if you read the Gospels, you might say this person is love, or this person is goodness, this person is mercy. But honestly speaking, the thing about Jesus is grace. In Luke chapter 1, when they prayed and they said that the tender mercies of God has visited us from on the day spring from on high, please can you give me Luke chapter 1, towards 70, 71, 72. though through the tender mercy of God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. You see this tender mercy, when it manifested and John saw him, what did he say? We beheld the glory of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. Later he says, and of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. This morning as we were driving, it occurred to me that in our company, we pray a lot for mercy, 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 mercy. But it turns out that when God answers your prayer of mercy, what he brings is grace. Grace is the answer for the quest of mercy. Every time. Think of, I mean, like when you say, Lord, have mercy on me, what are you saying? Like, what is the mercy? How does the mercy, how will the mercy come to you? It's grace. It's grace. That's why they said you should come to the throne of what? It's not the throne of mercy. It says, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. When you obtain mercy, you will find grace to help in time of need. If you see Jesus, his life, from a child, the grace of God was upon him. If you look at the miracles that he did, gracious. He's gracious in his nature. He's gracious in character. He's gracious in his tone. He's gracious when he's dealing with all sorts and conditions of men. He can be gracious to Mary Magdalene. He can be gracious to the woman caught in adultery. And he's gracious when he's turning over the tables of the money changers. He's being gracious when he says, you brood of vipers. He's being gracious when he's answering harshly to a Pharisee. That is power. It takes power to answer contrary to the word of your day. That is grace. Because the Pharisees had the word for the day in that their society, right? Yes. It takes grace to bring out a different conversation. It takes grace to say, take up your bed and walk on the Sabbath. That is power. The Lord is gracious when he's feeding the 5,000. And he's gracious when he's saying that birds have nests, foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay. He said, that is power. It takes grace to endure that thing of contradiction of sinners against yourself. It takes grace to be tempted in all points, yet without sin. It takes grace to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Take on the form of a servant, even though if you count it to be equal with God, it's not robbery. It takes grace to drink the cup in Gethsemane and to say, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus is gracious as a man in Galilee, in Nazareth, in Samaria with the woman at the well. Jesus is gracious when he's crying unto him who can save his soul. He's gracious on the cross because it takes power for you to take on the sins of the whole world. Jesus is gracious in hell. He's gracious at resurrection. He's gracious as the reigning Christ. He's gracious in the promise of his coming back to us. He's gracious as he delays the coming so that men can be saved. He's gracious in every office. He's gracious as priest and high priest of our profession. He's gracious as the Lamb of God who bleeds constantly before the throne. He's gracious as the lion seated on the throne. He's gracious as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's gracious as a comforter. He's gracious as a teacher. He's gracious as the speaker of the New Testament. The Lord is gracious through and through. When I'm saying he's gracious as this, as gracious as that, I'm saying that he's powerful and good at all times, in every estate, in every office, at every point. The Lord is gracious. It is of his fullness that we receive grace and for grace. Amen. Amen. When Uncle T was talking and he said, there's a staring, and the staring is impossibility. You see, that staring is the staring of grace. The word for what he was describing is grace. As I was thinking since yesterday, like, okay, what are we supposed to talk about? Because everybody knows everything already. You know, I came across this 1 Peter, my Bible, and I was just waiting. I've been praying, you know, some scriptures were coming to me, but I was just waiting. I was like, if this is what the Lord wants to say this morning, it will be confirmed. And as Uncle Inka was praying towards the end, he was reading from that Psalm 45, you know, but he kept saying that we should ask for grace, that it is grace that will give us sight, it is grace that will give us this, it will give grace that will give us that. You know, and as Aunt Shane was singing some of her ad-libs, she kept speaking about that thing. The truth is, we can do a lot. We can hear a lot. We can be exposed to a lot. But without this thing called grace, not a lot is happening. Nothing is actually being done. Grace is the power of God to us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You know, sometimes you can be wondering that I'm hearing so much. I'm listening to so much. I'm availing myself to so much. But nothing is happening to me. Does anybody feel like that sometimes? Oh, you're not, they're not here. You don't feel like that? Sometimes you feel like you're exposed to so much, you're listening to so much, but nothing is happening. It's because there's an element of grace that has not clicked. What's that scripture that says the God of all grace is able to make all grace abound to you? That's 2 Corinthians, right? Is it? Having all sufficiency. 1 Corinthians. No. I was talking about how if you sow bountifully, you would do something. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, always having sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Amen?
Amen.
And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. In our journey of faith, in our journey of, you know, becoming Christ, everlasting, eternal, all these things, we tend to try a lot of things apart from the thing that really works, which is why sometimes we end up with a form, a shape of the thing, but the power is denied. Because the real power that makes godliness happen is grace. Sorry that I'm slow. I'm just waiting for the Lord to tell me how to move, you understand? Because there's so many things inside my mind. But the Lord does not build a house. Did that build do what? Build in vain. Or labor that labor in vain. Amen. Most of the time, we hear word, we take the word, and we want to run and do the word. When we attempt the word, we get stuck because it's too hard. You know, in our sisters' meeting or, you know, the Bible study we have in my house, one of the things I keep seeing is that the standard is too high. The standard is too difficult. If you try it in your own strength, you must surely fail. There's a reason why almost every first chapter of the epistles, why would they greet you that grace and peace from who? From God be multiplied. Does it not strike you that when we are listing the fruit of the Spirit, grace is not mentioned? Grace is not a fruit of the Spirit. Grace has been, according to Romans chapter 5 and 6, is a gift that works out the fruit. The scripture says, by grace are ye saved. Faithfulness, it says through faith, right? Faithfulness is actually a fruit, but grace is not. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Can I explain this to you? Think of yourself as being in the middle of a deep blue sea and you need to get to shore. Let's say shore is God. The boat is faith. The ability to paddle is grace. It's the ability to paddle or the movement. Not just the movement. The wind behind the sail is grace. Grace is a provision that is given. Faith is like the boat. I don't know if that makes sense. That without grace, nothing can happen. If the Lord wants to have mercy on you at any time, he's going to answer you by making grace available to you. Yes. Amen? Amen. What was I reading just now, please? Okay. Let's read 2 Peter chapter 1. There's different ones I want to read. Just the first chapter of some of these epistles. Right? You don't have to open, I can just read it quickly. It says, Simon Peter, a servant, you know, apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 quickly, sorry. There are some that are very profound, the way they render it. Grace be unto you, sorry, verse 1. Wrong God, please give me direction. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified, called to be saints, with all that are in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours, what be unto you? Grace and peace. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians. Paul and Silvanus, Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. What be unto you?
Let's go to Romans chapter 1. This is my favorite. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which is made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of the dead, by whom we have received what? And what? For what? What did we receive? For what? We received what? For what? So if you try to obey by yourself, what are you doing? Nothing. You are doing nothing. The charge to you as a believer in this difficult journey, like, what's our main issue, right? What's our main issue? The main Benji, what's your issue? It's a lot. He's like, my issues are a lot. The main problem is sin. The main problem is the human nature that we've inherited from the enemy. The main problem is the power of death at work in our members. The laws that are working in our members. Those are the problems. Those are the issues, right? The main problem is that when I look at myself, nothing good dwelleth in me. I feel like a candidate of hell because of my nature. What's God's main problem? Obedience to the faith. What's God's main problem? Being conformed to the image of his Son. How did he do it? By the grace of God, tasted death for every man. By grace. But grace and truth came by Jesus, by grace. The answer to our issues is not trying to fix them. The answer to our issues is knowing how to connect the grace of God to solve issues. If you are not versed in knowing how to connect grace, you will struggle. When sin did abound, what abounded much more? Your zeal? Did holiness abound much more? Did mercy abound much more? Did word abound much more? Lines, precept, the blood of Jesus. What abounds much more is grace. Grace is the answer to your sin. Grace is the answer to your weaknesses. Grace is the answer to your stagnation. Grace is the answer to your lack of hunger. Grace is the answer to your marital issues. Grace is the answer to your singlehood issues. Grace is the answer to your habitual sins. Grace is the answer to your evil appetites. It's grace. Because those things in themselves have no answer. They are supernatural issues. Grace is God's supernatural provision to make a natural man supernatural. So no matter how much doctrine you have, actually, there's a scripture like that. It says, sorry, you guys. Bible is just, I don't know where it is. I just know what it is. It says, it talks about grace and then all utterance and then knowledge, something like that. There's a scripture like that. Let me look for it in my Bible. I don't know if it's 1 Peter. God will bless you. Oh, these Bible people are good. Let's read it together. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, are we abounding in everything? By God's grace. In what? In faith. and utterance and knowledge and all diligence. Do you see that all these things are not, they're not substitutes for grace? What does it say? And in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. Give me the next verse, please. The next verse, please. Amen. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 8, right? It says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Do you see how grace is the thing that made Jesus do what he did? Do you see how without grace you can never become like the Lord? Every single, to me, when I read the scriptures, every single blessing that we want to come into, every single virtue that we want to come into, every single portion of inheritance that is the Lord's nature that we want to come into is powered by grace. Let's take it. Long suffering. You cannot suffer long with your mind. Because humans are not programmed to suffer at all. Talk less of suffering long. Patience. You cannot be patient without grace. It says, forbearing one another in love. How do you intend on doing it? There has to be a power at work in you. Paul said in Romans chapter 7, he said, with the law of my mind, I agree with the law of God. I agree that the law is righteous. I agree. You cannot tell, like, do you not agree, Auntie Jane? Is it not a wonderful thing to be called to be conformed to the image of the Son of God? This is the promise that he has promised us, even the eternal life. Is it not nice? Don't you agree? Well, what happened? Why are you not like that? Because there's another law at work in your members. That which I would do, that I do not. But that which I would not do, that I do. If this is not you, then please come and take the mic. Now, if I do what I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Go on, please. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Continue, please. For I delight, it's not that I agree, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself, that's my real self, I serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There is therefore, you see this? This Romans 8 chapter 1 is Ephesians 2. But God who is rich in mercy. Romans chapter 8 is the interjection of grace into the human experience. Do you see how they are not saying they must put, Christ must pre, must be prior to your walking in the Spirit. Jesus Christ is the introduction of grace into the story. If you don't know how to touch grace, whatever you're calling your walk in the Spirit will be futile. The grace is poured into his lips. The grace drips from his hand. See that nail piercing? That's the grace. The grace is in a person. The grace is a force. The grace has nothing to do with you. There are things that are your business. Obedience. Having faith. But grace is a gift of God for your journey. If you don't know grace, you don't know God. Amen?
Amen.
If you don't know what? You don't know God. I don't know if that's a sufficient kind of thing to say that we need grace. Amen?
Amen.
It says that he's able to make all grace abound toward you, that you may abound to every good work. If there's no grace, there's no good work. Isn't we are the masterpiece of Christ? We are the workmanship of God, created in Christ Jesus to what? Unto every good work. Without grace, there's no workmanship. There's no building, because they build with shouting. See, what did they shout?
Grace.
Grace. Grace unto it. Everything we talk about, becoming the habitation of the Lord, like Pastor Jeff was teaching yesterday, becoming the husbandry of God, becoming the city of God, becoming the this one, that, becoming the bride of Christ, nothing can happen unless the grace of God does what? Comes into play. Amen.
Amen.
Nothing can happen unless the grace of God comes into play. Man, I'm looking for a scripture in Romans chapter 6. Yes. Okay, this is it. Where sin abounded, grace much more. Did much more abound. That as sin reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life. Can we read that Romans chapter 6, verse 20 and 21? Can we read it together? Romans chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. Let's read it together. Can we read 21 again? That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Okinga was saying something this morning that Titus chapter 2, right? That the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, then teaching us. A lot of us read that thing, but I don't think we everybody always goes to teaching us. Peter said, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought to you. And this is an entire process. If 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 13 does not happen, there's nothing like Titus 2. So you will just be quoting that the grace of God teacheth you all things, but you are not learning anything. What you'll be having is knowledge, is form, is mental assent to some things. But you see, power will not happen. How do you get grace? That's actually the main thing I want to talk about. Because it is evident now. Like, can you see how, if you've been trying, there's a reason why you're trying, it's not yielding anything. Let me tell you guys something. I won't lie to you. As I look across the room, I can, because I obviously were pastoring, I can tell the different issues in the room, at least to a degree. There's no single issue in this room that grace is not the answer to. If I look to this side, I can see people who, right now, they've resolved that it's only Jesus they want to be following. But constantly, the voice of the enemy is assaulting their mind that you cannot do it. You're pretending. The answer to that accusation is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. is that it is not by power or by might. It is grace at work in me that's going to bring me to the end. Amen. Amen. If you're in the room, your issue is bitterness or offense. I see you. You've tried to mentally, I forgive, I remove bitterness, I'm not offended. You can't do it. A power has to be made available to you to cast your care, your pain, your grief, your hurt, your confusion, your desperation on the Lord. It is grace. You can't mentally assent to removing bitterness and unforgiveness from yourself. Do you know that? You can't forgive by saying, I forgive. You cannot stop being offended by saying, I refuse to be offended. Grace has to hit your resolve. Saying I forgive is an act of faith. The power to do it is grace. But do you see how most of the time we stop in our resolve and there's nothing happening? For Paul and the apostles, a lot of the things that they suffered, and grace does not mean that everything will be fine. Grace means that, what did Paul say? He said, there was a messenger of Satan sent to buffet me, and three times I besought the Lord. What did he say? And then what is made perfect? Whose strength? Yes. Most times we want our strength to be made perfect in our weakness. The Lord does not need your strength. All he needs is your willingness. Many times we are reading, my strength is made perfect in my weakness. Most of the time we are wondering, why am I not strong, even though I've agreed to be better? Even though I've agreed to be different? Even though I've agreed to the concept of being righteous, why am I not different? It's because you're waiting for your strength. But what did Paul say? He said, if I have boasting, he said, I will glory in my infirmities. Without grace, the Lord's strength will not be made perfect in weakness. As I was saying that, I'm seeing that there are different issues, right? I can see people that your own is that I want to become loving, more like a lamb. But every time I rise up to do good, evil is present with me. I inadvertently hurt people. I'm misunderstood. So what do you want to do? You now want to act gracious. You want to act loving. You want to act nice. You want to act kind. You want to act obedient. Like wives, for example, you wake up today, from today, I'm submitting. No harsh word will escape my lips. If he says one, I will not say 10. I will just say, yes, my Lord. By the time Baba just say, why do you put the toothpaste here? Is it every time I do the toothpaste? Is it the toothpaste? What happened to the resolve? You are weak. The thing that answers most of the time is nature. The answer to nature is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. What you are up against is more than your mind. Benji, what you are up against, the mountain that is before you, your mind has no answer. Do you know why? Because Satan is faster than you. He's bigger than you. He's wiser than you. He's more committed than you. How do you intend to overcome the assault, and every day is fresh, against your person? The commitment of, you know the way people, some jobs, they come in the morning and they do team meeting. how we will strategize for the day. That is how your evil spirits that are assigned to you every morning, and the thing, the resolve is fresh. Anything that you did yesterday that was able to add life, not only are they the evil that's sufficient for the day is there, but then how to unwind the one from yesterday is also present with them. How do you suppose that your puny little mind that is sold under sin will overcome? Grace is the power of God. God's grace is sufficient. If the problem is, I'm just lazy. Is anybody struggling with laziness here? Jesus Christ. They're not here. I agree. I agree that I should just follow the Lord. I should walk unto all pleasing. I should walk worthy of the Lord. Don't you agree, Uncle T? You know, eschew evil, follow good. If you live in the Spirit, you should also walk in the Spirit. It's very clear. I believe it. Do you know that you did not die on the cross? People are waiting for grace to appear from inside their person to help them to become who they are supposed to be. If you don't learn how to connect the grace, year one, year two, year 17, in the word of righteousness, as in quoting everything, you will not. You remain the same. Amen? And let's speak to how do I now connect grace? Problem. Who wants to tell me how they can connect grace? This message is so calm today. Sorry, I'm not shouting at you about your problems. Wow, stop doing this. Because advice does not work. You can't advise somebody into life. Yes, this year I've learned so painfully that you cannot advise anybody into life. You can't counsel anybody into life. The only thing that works is when the Lord actually speaks to a soul. The job of your pastor is to be as much as possible, be a conduit for the Lord, a vessel that the Lord uses to give grace. How do we connect grace? This sounds like a church message. I'll give you three things. I'll give you seven steps to connecting the grace of God. Meekness. You know, have you ever done something bad? Then you look at yourself and say, how could I have done this? Oh. Dami, have you ever done something and you look at yourself that, upon everything I know, how could I have done this? You're not meek. You're not meek. You are high-minded. A believer has no expectation of righteousness from themselves. I'm not saying from the Lord. What did that mean say? That grace will reign unto righteousness and eternal life. A believer does not. Do you know why? When you carry on expecting righteousness from yourself, you continue to fail and make you poo-poo all over yourself. Because do you know why? Your righteousness is as filthy rags. That means the best of you is utterly stinking. As in your best guess. Your best, this is the best thing to do now. But can I put it to us that we're not even living out our best? Like, say your best is still going to end in shambles, but most of us are even, we're living below our very best. Problems upon problems. So if my righteousness is as filthy rags, what is my unrighteousness? Sewage. Uncle John. I'm living in the sewer. That's what the Bible calls miry clay. Most of us tend to live from the miry clay. The power that drags you from miry clay and sets your feet on the rock to stay is the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I said you're not meek, right? Because you expect righteousness from yourself. From today, I want everybody in this room, stop expecting righteousness from yourself. Just know that if you've not tapped grace, the worst is about to happen. At all times, in every situation, in every scenario, you're about to do your worst. You don't say do your worst. You're just manifesting. You are a manifestation of worst. You're just a living worst walking around. So how dangerous is it for us not to be living graciously? My guys, by obedience are you saved? No. By grace are you saved? Obedience is an act of faith. It is by grace that you are saved. Meekness. The Bible says that you should humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. That he may exalt you in due time. See, that exaltation is righteousness. The Lord resisteth the proud. Do you know that it is pride to not be broken? The opposite of pride is brokenness. Brokenness speaks to having a sense of no sufficiency in oneself. Like, and this is going to sound very basic, but on a very, very, very first note, if you're not praying every single day, you are proud. That's tough. If you're not praying every single day, what's that thing? Coming boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. The need is your nature, is your person, is your life. Because the life that we're living is actually death. It's sewage life. Any life outside of God, any life outside of Christ, any life that is lived just by human strength. Like you just wake up. I watch a Nigerian movie. The guy say you jump into the day like a chicken. Any life that is lived at that level is sewer life. That life is bondage. The Bible says the whole world lies in wickedness under the sway of the wicked one, right? Any life that is not lived in grace, perpetually touching grace for all things, the life cannot amount to much good. Because any righteousness that comes out of that life is filthy. Any obedience that comes out of it is, I don't know, at best, it's It won't change. Amen? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. The Lord resisteth the proud and giveth grace to them. One of the ways you connect grace is in that thing called personal devotion. I know this is like milk, 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 milk. It is true. Personal devotion. If you don't give your time and your heart and your mind to the Lord for time, you won't connect grace. You won't connect grace. There's a scripture, that's 1 Peter, or is it 2 Peter? I never know where it is. Let's see. I think it's the scripture that talks, that is here. Amen. Amen. Because by flesh shall no man do what? By strength, no. Strength or by flesh or by strength. No man shall be filled. The scripture I'm looking for. You see this humility that I'm talking about? Obviously, it's humility towards the Lord, knowing that nothing good dwelleth in the flesh. That the answer to all your issues, all the answer to your walk, the answer to your furtherance is in touching grace. But you see, before this, what does it say? Likewise, ye younger, submit. This is verse 5 of 1 Peter chapter 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto who? Yea, all of you, do what? Nobody's answering me. I guess this message is so boring. Let's go again. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. All of you, be subject one to another. And be clothed with humility. God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Amen. Amen. Do you know what the biggest stop of grace is? Like to me, in my mind, like the biggest thing that stops the flow of grace to you is your inability to relinquish control. What's the problem with submission? For example, submission one to another. Is that if I submit to another person, their will might prevail and the outcome will not be what I want. True or false? If I submit to an elder, it's very possible that their will prevail and the outcome will be what? It won't be what I want. If I submit to God, it's very likely that the outcome will not be what I want. So, I can be praying for grace, but when the grace comes, I'll turn away. If you want grace to flow, submission means that you are ready for whatever the outcome will be. You say, God, I will take it. Grace will start to flow. Most of us are, how do they say it, of marriageable age, right? Everybody wants to get married. And everybody is praying, Lord, lead me. Lord, you know, bring mercy, show mercy, show mercy, show mercy. But once the Lord actually just tries to tamper with that thing. Hey, no! How do we live? We live holding on to our will, but we're shouting, show mercy, show mercy, show mercy. Knowing fully well that I'm not ready to relinquish my thought, my opinion, and that thing is called fear of death. It is fear of death that makes us not relinquish control. What's fear of death? I'm afraid to be separated from the thing I love. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, that's a very, very good example of what we're talking about. What did the Bible say about Jesus in Hebrews chapter 2? That, okay, so in Gethsemane, we see him praying, Lord, this cup is somehow. I don't know why the cup has to be like this. What sort of a cup is this? Are you sure about the cup? And then he says, not my will, but yours be done. When the scripture is now explaining how Jesus died, what did he say? He says that he, by the grace of God, Jesus, after agreeing, not my will, but yours be done, grace was ministered to him for to drink the cup. Grace does not mean that the Lord will remove a cup. Grace means that there will be sufficiency for the cup. If your issue is being patient, grace is not that there will now not be any scenario for you to exercise patience. It means that when the cup for patience comes, there will be sufficiency for you to drink that cup called patience. Same with long suffering. Anything, but you have to relinquish control. If you're not at the point where you are saying, Lord, not my will, but yours be done, you will lack grace. And you will be a baby for a long time. I was talking to somebody the other day. They were telling me something that they're going through. And actually, it's because of their submission that they're in the place that, sorry if you're in the room, don't be angry with me. I will not say you're in the context of what we're talking about. But it's because they are submitting to an elder, and the elder has put their foot down and said, you know, not like this. I'm going to ask you to wait. I looked at this person, I said, what is happening to you? This is how men are made. A lot of young men will remain boys for a long time until you say, not my will. Then the grace for manhood, what is manhood? It's the ability to do difficult things. What separates a boy from a man, what separates a girl from a woman is the ability to do excruciatingly difficult things. When you agree, not my will. Like we were in sisters meeting, right? And since we're here, let me just quickly touch on this. The concept of waiting for your spouse or your partner or whatever. But in a season, people say the air of marriage is around us. There's nothing like an air of marriage. Okay, just calm down. There's no air. You see the air? It's the air of the Lamb. It's the air of Jesus. That's the only air. You understand? When they tell you, wait, that's a difficult pill to swallow, right? But has it occurred to you that, like I said in sisters' meeting, that the Lord is buying time to groom you? That, for example, we're not in a culture where we'll have a community of divorcees or roommates. But what's happening to you? If you can subject your will, you will let grace touch you. And by God, you are going to be different than if you didn't wait. Because grace can raise you. Grace can change you. Grace can make you better than you would have been had you not subjected yourself to the grace. Is it not true? Uncle John said, yes, it's true. It's true. Grace is the thing that deals with idols. Grace is the thing that deals with covetousness. And even in waiting, grace is the thing that helps you have patient continuance in well-doing. To the boys, I put it to you, if they told you to wait, this is what I say, if you've not waited 14 years like Jacob, you have not waited long enough. If your count is not at year 14, you can still wait. And guess what? Grace is sufficient for you. Submission, one to another, relinquishing of will is what actually ensures that the will of God will be done. Relinquishing of control is what makes grace available, not plenty prayer. Because I said before that you give your time and attention, you devote yourself to the Lord. But if you are doing that with your will intact, you have failed. You can, that's what the Bible says, that with their lips they honor me, but their heart is far from me. The work of grace or the availability of grace is necessitated by a relinquishing of one's will. If you want to start seeing grace being made available to you, start looking at the areas where the Lord is saying, leave it alone. Or somebody in your life who is over your life has said, leave it alone. If you want to grow fast and you want to grow well and you want to combat natures that are difficult in your person, literally start relinquishing your will. For wives. Oh, I can't. As a bride of Christ. When something goes against your person, and you agree that this is against my person, but I will allow it. You just said, I'm going to allow the grace of God to interrupt this situation. Did they say somebody said that madness is doing the same thing over and over again? No. How many of you have tried to... let me give you guys such a great example. After I had Zera, I went on a weight loss journey. I wrote all these things inside. I was going through my pictures, so... I wrote, you know, I'll drink kale, I will not eat bread, I will do this, I'll do that, and I will lose the weight. So fast forward now, I've had a second urchin, and and I am now at this, my current weight. And the exact things I thought 4 years ago about my weight loss is the exact thing that I'm thinking of doing, that I've started doing, but it's not working. Whereas my husband, every single time I talk about my weight, he tells me exactly what to do. And I refuse to do it. Because I believe that if I do it my way, it will work. How great is the folly? Exceeding great. But the thing is that if I humble myself, though it will be difficult, that's the thing about grace. It does not remove the difficulty. It provides wind for the difficulty. It provides power for the difficulty. What did my husband say I should do? He said, just leave rice. To God who made him, he said, honey, just leave rice. You'll be hot. Every single day of my life, I eat rice. Every day. Rice and stew, jollof rice, poached rice, burnt rice. Very well done rice, overdone rice. Rice and stew, that's not very good. Rice, anything. If it's rice, I'm going to eat it. And if there's no rice at home, maybe I'll eat Thai Express. I'll eat rice. And every day I step on the scale, I'll now bang it. Come on! In my mind, I started drinking my greens. I'm doing intermittent. I'm not eating late. So why? The Lord is really humbling me because all my resources that I've used in the past, because I've lost, sorry I'm talking about weight loss, this is just a good example, several times in my life, especially when I can just wake up and decide that while losing weight, we'll just shed 25 pounds. Now, the Lord has brought his spirituality into even my person. This thing is not part of my work. This is something I'm dealing with. The Lord said, no, until you obey. I'm thorough. I'll calculate every calorie. Maybe they say you should eat 1,500 or less than. I have my journal of food. It's less. Why? Say submission. Submission is not easy, but it's possible. And you will grow speedily. Say submit one to another. Say your roommate is not a fool. Yeah. Say your pastor is not annoying. And they don't hate you. They want you to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. You have tried zeal, it has failed. You have tried New Year's resolution, it has failed. You have tried, I hold myself, it has failed. Many of you have, hold yes, yeah, hold myself. It has failed. Betsy said she has failed. It has failed. You have tried, okay, I don't even care. Let grace just heal you. It has failed. The race is not to the swift. It is not to him that willeth or runneth. It is of the Lord that shows mercy. I just want to close out with this. If there's a matter in your life that you need grace for, you don't leave it to chance. You know, we are careless like that. It's only about our spiritual walk that we leave things to chance. The grace will just show up. Do you know that even repenting, you need grace? Because sometimes you cannot repent. There's nothing in your life, any issue, and I'm talking about specific things. Everybody in this room, you have a specific thing that the Lord is talking to you about that. If you overcome this thing, you are going to hit your next self. Is it true? Let me just show you the attitude of looking for grace. Is that you don't stay and say, okay, the Lord be gracious unto me. Just one second. The scripture in Exodus. Let me see. I think I highlighted it in my Bible. If you want grace, the attitude is like blind Bartimaeus. The attitude is like the woman with the issue of blood. You look for grace like your life depends on it. You see, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared, right? You run to touch the grace. I don't know, anything else that we're looking for, we give our, like, you know when people are looking for their citizenship or PR? Do you see the kind, I've seen it. Man, when some people are looking for papers, I'll see all kinds of commitment, thoroughness, detail. But when it comes to dealing with our nature, just careless. Let's look at Exodus chapter 2. And we'll look at something in Psalm 84. Amen? Amen. Before we read the scripture, I just want to say something. In Sister's meeting, I shared something about how we listen to messages, right? About how sometimes we feel good about listening to 17 messages in 1 week, but we've not learned anything. I just want to give you a secret, like the people who already heard it, this is for now, the boys. Don't be vain in your listening to message. Don't listen to message gracelessly or hoping for nothing. Every message has two things it's teaching, right? Christ and God. Every message, if you learn it well, you can have like, it is whole in itself and wholesome and has a grace at the end of it. If you can take a message and listen to it and learn that message thoroughly, as in you stay with the message, you stay with the thought, and you stay with it, you hope with it until grace at the revelation of Christ in that portion comes. If you only do 10 messages like that in 1 year, you will be better than listening to 120 messages and you did not tap one grace. What grace does, it will change your mind, it will work on your will, and it will give you power to obey. Amen?
Amen.
You have to stay. Hope till the end with the word until grace appears at the revelation of Jesus. For example, we've been learning leading. Do you know that I know that some people in this room, if they ask you, describe leading to me, they still cannot. True or false? True. I know that there are still people in this room that will say, is it my mind? Is it God? Is it Satan that's talking to me? True or false? It means that for the last couple of weeks, there's been no hope painted. You've not held on to it. And you've not partaken of the grace that should come at the right. If you know, in your moment of hoping, what do? You go back to Hagin. These are attitudes. You take the messages, listen until something happens. Because when grace happens, you will know. Amen?
Amen.
So that's Exodus chapter 2. Amen.
Amen.
It says, this is verse 23. And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. And the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage. And they cried. And their cry came up to God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning and remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them. Amen. This is the attitude or somebody that's looking for something. You cry. You sigh. You weep. You hope. You stay. You mourn. You run. You cut through the crowd. You shout his name. Until you know that the Lord has heard you. If you are looking for grace, you have to look for it as it is a real thing that you are looking for. Take any issue, take anything. You want the grace, go after it. Obey concerning it. Submit concerning it. And the God of all grace is able to make all grace abound unto you, that in everything, always, you will have all sufficiency. Do you know it's lack that makes us sin? I'll give you an example. Single sisters, say amen. No single sisters in the room. Do you know that it is lack that makes you desperate? Yeah. It's lack of grace. Do you know it's lack of grace? It's a lack of grace that makes you thirsty. Actually, both boys and girls. That makes you desperate. That makes you thirsty. That makes you dissatisfied. And that can make you sin. What's the sin? Some of the things we're addressing, right? Backbiting, gossip, slander, meanness. Why? Because you lack grace for long suffering, patience, and you lack grace for loving the Lamb. It's an issue. Like, you can't connect how my behaving a certain way in this matter is a lack of grace. Grace is the antidote to sin. Take any one issue in your life and see whether the grace for that thing is not the answer. When the Bible says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, that gospel is the grace of God. By grace, you are being saved by faith. The grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto you. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. When grace taps you, then it can begin to teach you. Not that you begin to act out of your own, what, filthy rags. We need grace to be introduced into our equation. Amen?
Amen.
Grace made Jesus. Grace is what Jesus is full of. Grace is what you are supposed to become. Grace is what? The concept of sitting on the throne, like, how ridiculous is that? The concept of becoming like the Lamb, how utterly ridiculous is it? The concept of becoming an habitation of, number one, a holy temple offering spiritual sacrifices, then a habitation of the Lord, how ridiculous is it? It has to be done by shoutings of grace, grace, grace. This message is just to say that if you've been doing in your strength, with your zeal, with your mind, it's time to look for the grace that has appeared unto you. Amen? And I'm praying that the Lord will teach us how to connect grace for all things. And that the grace will abound. And it will abound against sin, against weaknesses, against death, against natures that are not of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you because you are the God of all grace. And you can make all grace abound to us, that we can have all sufficiency for every good work. We thank you because you have promised us strange things, high things, impossible things. But we thank you because that Holy Ghost is also called the Spirit of Grace. We thank you because grace has appeared unto us and it can teach us. We ask that you give us meekness to learn how to connect your grace that is being made available. We pray that the name of God will be put upon us as so, that you will bless us, you will keep us, you will make your face shine upon us, you will lift up your countenance over us, you will be gracious unto us and give us peace. We pray that in our lives and in our journeys and in our story, where sin has abounded, even now, that grace will begin to abound much more in the name of Jesus. We pray that we will stop having anchors in ourselves, expectations of ourselves, hope in ourselves, in our mind, in our logic, in our strength, that instead we would look at something else. We will look up to the hill from whence cometh our help. That help is even the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Let these three rest and abide with us. Show us how to love the gracious way, the gracious conversation. Teach us how to switch conversation, to put off the old man by grace and put on the new. That every promise, every virtue, every glory, every grace that we ought to come into, you will show us how to do it by leading and by a walk of grace in the name of Jesus. Father, we will not be graceless. We will not be helpless. We will find grace to help in time of need. Teach us how to come boldly but brokenly to your presence. Father, let our name be changed to grace. In the name of Jesus, we thank you. We worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.